love on this band. Tell them how much you love them. Appreciate you a lot. What time's the Christmas concert tonight? If y'all show up at 3, you'll be on time. All right, so 4:30 is the refreshments, and then we're going to start. And by the way, the kids are going to sing about 10 minutes worth of some good music. And then I'm going to be telling you the Christmas story through about a few songs at the start, and then we'll just let you relax and sit back. Please invite your friends. Invite anybody. All is welcome, and we're just going to have a good time. Amen. Well, why don't we clap our hands for new people this morning? We'll do it twice. Never been to Cowboy Church before. It's an honor to have you. We always say people pass a lot of churches to get to this one, and we appreciate you being here. At Cowboy Church, we want you to feel welcome. We want you to plant somewhere. This church is about 17 years old, so it's relatively new. But God is doing a mighty, mighty, mighty work. Everything we do here is debt-free. So when we bought this piece of property after being at the Smiling V Ranch, I mean, right around the corner, you turn 285, which is the next road back to the west, and then you curve around the high fence and you go back in there, and we were meeting for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, at the Smiling V Ranch, Alan and Denise Vincic. Sweet, sweet people. And then obviously we needed our own place. And the Boy Scouts ended up buying the Smiling V Ranch. Before they did, I began to pray, and God showed me this 78 acres here. A great thing, and it's okay to tell you now because it's been 17 years, but the way we started to pay for this property is I was at the rodeo in Austin, and we were believing God for our own place. We already had 100 and some odd people coming to the Smiling V in a pavilion. Jesus, if it was 30 degrees, we'd have about 5. If it was 70, we'd have 200. If it was 105, we was back down to 5. But man, we had a good time. But we were praying for this piece of property, and a lady walked up to me after believing, and she handed me a check for $75,000. Now, it was handed to me. So the first thing that goes through my mind, since money doesn't control me, is this for me? Maybe buy a new horse, you know, something, or is it not? And the Lord said, no, it's for the church. And so that's what helped us here. So it just gives you a little idea of how we started. We put up a tent. And for how long, y'all? For almost 2 years? Was it two? 2 years we was in a tent. 3 years? Can I hear 4? 5, 6, 7. When it was 30, we had 5. When it was 70, we sat it out where the RVs are, and they would sit all in the tree. We could only seat about 150 inside the tent with the stage and all that, and so. But man, then one day, I see old Alvis back there. We started building this church. And I'm telling you, I could just name the people that were up on top of that. See the middle one? Y'all look up. See the very top one? There was people in this church. I won't tell you who it is because he's kind of crippled right now. But he was up there at the top, and I was on the scissor lift away from him. You know, I want to do things safely. But it's an honor now that we've just about finished the kids' church. And so that tells you a little bit about our church. But yet, you can still pass a lot of them to get to this one. Thank you. And what we teach here is where you're planted is where you'll grow. I'll never forget a guy uprooted his roses because he wanted to take them from his house that he was at to his new place. And they were huge. I mean, the roses were this big at his property until he moved, and he uprooted them. And he planted them at that property, and all of them died but one, and it was tiny. You see, you grow where you're planted. And if this is not a church for you, you need to find somewhere to plant. I would suggest finding a good Bible-believing church. Say amen to that. But I pray it's this one. And if it's this one, just know that there's all denominations. We believe this Bible from the front to the back, and we preach it. Amen. I'm not saying we haven't made mistakes, because we have. But I'm here to tell you, we want to do things right. So, if you're here, you've never been here at Cowboy Church before, hopefully you got a little visitor packet when you came in. If you didn't, I want to give you one right now. But I just want this church to welcome you. So if you've never been here before, would you mind to just raise your hand and let us welcome you right now in Jesus' name? Anybody? Thanks for coming. Thank you for coming. Thanks for coming. Appreciate you being here. Come on, y'all. Thank you so much. Now, did you get a visitor packet? I tell you, I had a meeting with them ushers. I will reprimand them here in a minute. Just kidding. If we can get some, we'll just get you. Because inside that visitor packet, if you get it, and they're bringing you one, is a card and a pen. And it just gives us a record that you came. And we'll have someone call you one time. That's a great time. If you've got questions, ask them. If you've got prayer requests, we have a whole team that prays at this church. Matter of fact, I get a lot of text. They'll put it in one of those mass texts that Heidi knows I don't like. We got to figure out how to do them to where you don't get all the responses. But we still, and I see them all praying, believing God in Jesus' name. And so, do y'all know where she's at? Okay. Anyway, thanks for coming. All right. Clap your hands for tithes and offerings, please. Now, I want, since everybody should have a Bible, correct? If you don't have a Bible, we need to get you one. This is Christmas, and we'll buy you one or put it on the list. And here's what I suggest. I tell everybody this. I preach out of a side-by-side Bible. One side is the King James. Personally, I like the King James because that's how I was raised. I can't find all the scriptures when it changes the words. So if it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, then I know that's what it says, right? But understanding that, and also, by the way, the King James has stood the test of time. So I like it. But I understand that the these, thous, and thuses are hard to understand. So side by side, I have the King James on one side and the Amplified Version on the other side. And sometimes I'll flip back and forth, but it's still right here. So when you're asking for a gift this Christmas, if you hadn't already bought it or bought the gifts, then, man, it'd be an awesome thing to buy a Bible for all believers. Amen. And this is our manual. I want you to get used to taking that thing with you. That's why we have cowboy Bibles that you can throw on the dash of your truck. And when they get old, just get you a new one. Amen. Carry that word with you all the time, though, because it's our life manual. It has saved your life. You remember, right? I've told this story before, but you remember in San Antonio, it's been years ago on national television when the guy walked into the church and down to the front of the altar, and the preacher was preaching and he had a gun and said, "I'm gonna kill you, preacher." Remember that, Pastor Hagee? This was on national television with 4,000 people in the seats. That was not a time, I always say, for Brother Hagee to hide. I mean, the guy was there. And he said, I'm going to kill you, preacher. You know what the man of God did on national television? He said, no, you're not. And he held out his Bible. He said, because this is my protection. It's my sword. It's my shield. And you will not kill me in Jesus' name. On national television, that man went pop, pop. What, 6 shots in those guns? And not a one of them hit the man of God. Oh, you say all you want to say about him being a good shot or a bad shot. But I'm here to tell you, it was the Spirit of God, the angels that were protecting him. And it was all because he believed in a word that is like a two-edged sword. It's like a shield. And I'm glad it was on national television because everybody saw it. They saw God's protection. That's what this word is. So bring your Bibles. Now, talking about finances, because I don't take a salary at this church, me and my wife. So what we do is we believe God. And it's allowed me to teach about finances for about 5 minutes. So in your Bible, I want you to turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Now, I know this is where everybody goes. Some would say, yeah, but that's the Old Testament, brother. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. The Old Testament was done by the law. Now, the New Testament is done by grace. And we live as a New Testament church because we want to serve God, not because we have to serve God. Amen? And so keep that in mind. So everything in the Old Testament, just take the law out of it and it's still relevant. I mean, it still bless you. You just don't have to do it because it's a law. You get to honor what Malachi here says and then what any of the Gospels, the epistles, and so on say. Again, we just get to do it because we want to live by God's ways of doing things and not because we're made to do it. That's why I don't agree with a lot of rules and regulations in church. Doesn't make sense. No, I want to serve Jesus because I know what He did for me. I know what He did. So it's an honor to serve Him. And this freaks out all my pastor friends. And I pastor a lot. I'm fixing to do the largest Cowboy Ministers Network conference in San Antonio in February. I'm talking the founders of the 1970, all those ministers, they're all there. I mean, it's going to be an amazing conference. But when I say this, it freaks out some of them because of their old religious learning. I have to be honest with you. I didn't go to seminary. I better not go there. I was raised in the ministry because my dad was a pastor. And so it was way better than going to Bible school because I got to learn everything that Bible school teaches plus. And because we lived it, you know, as a family. My dad was a pastor in 1970. And so listen to what, though, Malachi begins to say about the tithe, the giving. Malachi chapter 3. Say amen if you're there. Amen. Verse 9 says you're cursed with a curse. Look at me, everybody. When it says that, you have to understand that the curse is still here. Listen to me. Jesus redeemed us from the curse, though. If you're born again in here this morning and Jesus is the Lord of your life, then you can stand sure that Jesus redeemed that curse. But again, the curse is still here. It's like when the Bible says we live in the world, but we don't live of the world. So we're going to still operate with the curse around us, but it doesn't have to be a part of you. But yet you can still be right in the middle of it if you want to. I would suggest you not. So when you don't tithe, I should have read verse 8, shouldn't I have? Because then it makes sense. Will a man rob God? You've robbed me, but you say, where have we robbed thee? And then he answers, in tithes and offerings. And it's sad, y'all. that only they did a poll. It's been several years ago that only 16, and I think it's, and this church is way higher than that, but only 16% tithe. That's a sad thing. Because when you're not a tither, you're not getting into the economy of the Lord through sowing and reaping. Okay? So he's trying to tell us, if you're not a tither and you've robbed God, you're cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, this whole nation. Then it teaches us to bring the tithes into the storehouse. That's why we have that bucket and that bucket, because we want to bring it and we want to do kind of what the Lord says. Amen. That there may be meat in my house. And I like this part. Look at it. Prove me. Can you believe God would say that? Prove me. Well, why we got to prove you, sir? Are you not confident in your own word? No. It's actually for our benefit. When we begin to be obedient to the Lord, that's why he says, hey, prove me. I'll show you. I'll show you that it'll come to pass in your life. What? Prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the window of heaven and what? Now think about this. This is heaven we're talking about. The streets are gold. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. Now what are we talking about? We're talking about how we give to the Lord, right? And pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I don't know about y'all, but I've got a barn. I got it. I built six stalls. You can cut them in half, which will make 12 stalls for horses. I've got a tack room. My brother Chester just helped me extend that, make it a little bit bigger. This is saying that God will open the window of heaven if you're a tither. If you honor God with your finances and not let your finances control you. He will open the window of heaven. Now listen to me, because 11 is very, very, very important. If you're a tither, you can stand on this. If you're a tither, the Bible says, I will rebuke. This is God's talking. I will rebuke the devourer. Who's the devourer? Remember John 10:10, the thief comes not but for to, say it with me, steal, kill, and destroy. God, if you're a tither, will rebuke the devourer. You know the one that, man, when you got everything paid off and you everything's going great and you got a little extra and then all of a sudden the truck breaks down? And then you use all that up and then in business. Oh, in business. If you're not a tither, then one thing will happen after another a lot of times. But when you're a tither, you can say, God, you said to prove you. I want to remind you of your word that you said you would rebuke the devourer for my sake. And the enemy is trying to destroy my finances, which in turn destroys marriages, causes people to worry and get sick in their body. I counsel more people in the area of finances than I do any other thing. Because sickness and disease comes from, usually you root it back to finances. Even millionaires that have to deal with the pressures, I mean, they're everywhere, are dealing just like someone that doesn't have anything. Okay, listen to me and then I'll close. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, says the Lord of hosts. Listen, and all, this is verse 12, and all the nations shall call you blessed. Say that right now. Say, I'm blessed. Yes. Say it again, and mean it. I'm blessed. Say it again. I am blessed. You're blessed because you honor God with your money, and you don't allow money to control you. Because if it does, the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. God's trying to get it to you so you can be a blessing during this season to families that don't have it. God's trying to get it to you, but he cannot get it to you unless he can get it through you. Because if he can get it through you, then finances, money does not control you. You control it. And man, I'm telling you, he'll pour it out in your life if he can trust you. Now, if I would have got that $75,000 that was supposed to, it was designated, God designated. Now, the lady didn't say anything. So I could have went to Mexico. I could have bought a new horse. But then I'd have been in trouble with the Lord. So I want to honor Him. Amen. So when you come and give in these buckets, I want you to give with this, that attitude. Father, money does not control me. I control it. I have favor at my job. Business comes in from every... It's so smooth. Things just go awesome. And then watch God pour it out in your life. Amen. So come give with a big old shout of praise. Amen. Ooh, those kids were ready. Are you up?
I don't seek treasures.
Come on, give it to us.
Will be gone, but you died for me once, and I know this is true. So with all of my life, I'm living for you.
Had another song planned, and God told me that's not the one. How many of you know that Jesus is the reason for living, not just for the season? The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to His demand, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where You are. He came to me. He came to me. When I could not come to where He was, He came to me. That's why He died on Calvary. When I could not come to where He was, He came to me. Came to me when I was bound in chains of my sin. Come on, listen now. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and drew me gently to His side. today. In His sweet love, I now abide. And I'm so glad the day Jesus came to me.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Beautiful. Amen. You got some pipes, brother. Woo-hoo. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, let's get with it. Youth group, kids church, what an honor. With a big round of applause, all of you, kids, youth, and you need, if you're in the youth, you ought to go, because you need to be a part. Out the back end, with a big round of applause. Come on. Praise the Lord. If you hadn't gone back to that kids' church, I know we still lack the, there's four bathrooms and we still lack to finish those. But man, it's, what a wonderful, all those rooms are finished. We just need to finish the bathroom. So we know some of you, I look online, I don't see offerings and things like that, cause I don't open it all. We have a lady that does that, Heidi, does all that. And so, but I do see a lot of times, because it comes across. So me and Jamie, we keep up with everything. I learned a long time ago how people give is, that's a big part of their support and what's happening in the church, you know. Because I think that's why God put in the Bible 2,036 times about finances. 2,036, He mentions finances in some way, gold or whatever. It's because He knew that this was going to be the economy that He establishes. But He also knew that that one thing can try to control and things like that. And so I measure a lot of that. When no one gives, man, my antennas go up. Uh-oh, we better examine what's going on. Because again, when people give, then you know that they believe in what's going on here. They trust that the leadership is doing the right thing. And because, man, seen a lot of churches go under because they don't handle finances correctly. And that won't be this church. So I don't see it a lot, but I do see what people give online a lot of times. And man, a lot of times they'll give towards the kids' church, because you can put that in there. What a blessing, though, that we can allow them to go to a class and not to the announcer stand at the arena. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And then y'all noticed a lot of them left. And that's y'all's fault. That's your doing. But we teach them the Word of God. Amen. All right, let's jump into it so I can finish today. I've got 30 minutes to preach something that I believe, well, to finish. I need to finish what's going on. To catch anybody up that hadn't been here in the last, 3 weeks to a month, I started on the last Sunday of November talking to you about some things that are going on right now in church. You're starting to see some things that I wasn't raised in the denomination I was raised up in. I didn't see it. Never experienced someone being healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. Never experienced someone praying in tongues. This is a long time ago. This is in the 80s. You know, we never experienced this as a family. And again, y'all have heard me say it many times, there wasn't much excitement in our church, except if an old elder every now and then said, amen. Right, Carl? I mean, then it was like, man, God, the Spirit of God's moving in here because that guy said, amen. But no one else dare said anything. Especially us kids, because if we did, we'd get pinched behind the arm. Shut up. Stop. Yeah. Mom's saying, move on. You've said that enough. Well, that's how she was raised, though. Quiet, respect, order. And then you find out that really you can have freedom in a church to say amen. And there's something about agreeing about something, you know. Jesus is Lord. There ought to be an amen. That's right, he's Lord. Because we've been programmed that we can't do anything in church and you can't say anything, and it's kind of radical for someone to raise their hand and things like that. Well, as y'all know, in 84, we started ministering at the rodeos, and you couldn't preach the Baptist doctrine. And we started seeing things in this Bible that we hadn't seen much. The preacher didn't talk about it. And we started looking at it and seeing, well, my Lord, it's in the Bible. Well, then when we had our men's and women's conference here, and then we had Chip Brim come, Billy Brim's boy, that and Billy's going to be, Billy has the prayer mountain in Branson. And just what a mighty woman of God. She's going to be at our conference and speaking. And God's just used her to speak in the lives of a lot of presidents, a lot of prime ministers and so on. I mean, in Israel, she has a place there, and the prime minister calls her and says, hey, I need you to be standing in agreement here. You know, and this is, I realize this is Jewish country, but how many of you know God loves the Jews? God loves the Israel, and he says, bless Israel. Don't you dare curse it. You bless Israel, and you'll be blessed. And so I pray for Israel. I pray for that country. Isn't it amazing how that little bitty country, surrounded by all those big countries that hate them, is still living? They're still there. Anyway, okay, so being raised that way, we started seeing, and when Chip was here, man, we heard tongues were spoken. We saw some people get in a line right here, and some fell out. What's up with that? Is that in the Bible? And so the Spirit of God showed me years ago, being Spirit-filled, got filled with the Holy Ghost when I was at a Baptist vacation Bible school when I was 13. Didn't know what it was. And didn't get my prayer language or anything. And so the Lord said, when you start a cowboy church, all denominations come. And instead of scaring them off like would have happened to us growing up if we had heard a lot of stuff, why don't you in Bible study start teaching them? And I'm telling you, we'll get into Bible study on Tuesday night. And that's when you can raise your hand and say, hey, show me that in the Word. You know, and I'm not talking about an argumentative spirit where someone's trying to come in and prove you wrong. No, got to show you that. But I love it that it's in the Bible. And let me tell you something. I want everything that's in this Word. I don't want anything left out. if the Bible calls, it says that I live by the dunamis power of God, that Greek word that means power. If I have the power, the dunamis power of God, where I can be a witness in Jerusalem. This is Acts chapter 1, remember? I mean, if I can have a prayer language that was taught to us that it was of the devil growing up, and I can have this prayer language that no man understands but God. He's the only one that knows this prayer language in tongues, so that I'm praying the right kind of thing and not just another repetitious prayer that I say the same thing over and over and over. Anybody ever been there? Because I was. I mean, it was just like, here I am again, Lord, and I'm saying the same thing over and over. But when I pray in the Spirit, then that's a prayer that the Holy Ghost directs up to heaven, and there's no telling what I'm praying for someone, even in this crowd. I might not understand it, but God does. So why would I not want that? I don't understand that. Our church taught us a lot of times that healing went away with the old covenant, and God doesn't heal everyone. Well, being a cowboy, being a ranching cowboy, I never understood that a bit. Why in the world, if the church didn't believe that God healed everyone, would we have a prayer list that was 6 miles long? Why would we even say, put them on the prayer list if we didn't believe that God healed all? Well, you know, brother, it says, you know, that if it be thy will. Well, that tells me, just common sense, you're saying that it's not God's will to heal that one, but He does. It is His will to heal this other person. So it didn't make sense to me. So I started digging into the Word of God, and I want to find out, why did those people fall under the power of God? Why does people pray in the Spirit of God? And as you know, 3 weeks or a month ago, we started digging into it. We started looking at things about signs and wonders. So I want you to turn to Mark chapter 16 so we can go finish this up, Mark chapter 16, and then we can explain a few more things. And then after that, you and I are going to allow God to do anything He wants to. Now, I've already talked about order. I've already talked about that we don't get squirrely. Say amen to that. We don't get squirrely where it's out of order and people just jumping up praying in tongues and then someone waiting on an interpretation. No, you'll know being led by the Spirit of God when that's the right time. And trust me, if it's not the right time, I will let you know. Did you hear me? But don't be afraid. I don't want to live in fear. If someone has a message prophetically from the Lord, by the way, that's in Ephesians, y'all. We don't just have the pastor and the evangelist and then the teacher every now and then. We have all five of them. We have the pastor, we have the evangelist, we have the prophet, we have the apostle, and we have the teacher. All five of those are supposed to be operating in the church as well as outside the church. In other words, you don't need an evangelist in here. I am that. I mean, I pastor very evangelistic. Some people pastor as a teacher. Their calling more is a teacher. I'm very apostolic, and I understand that. I'm the Apostle Paul. He started a lot of works. Well, the Lord's had me do a lot of that, from college rodeos to professional to churches. This is not the first church we started. Matter of fact, we left Lubbock Church at the Barn, very incredible church now. On the, it's kind of on the west side. If you ever been to Lubbock, go to a steakhouse called Kegel's. Church at the Barn is down the road about a mile. Is that right? Kegel's? Oh, that's a good place. Let's go there sometime, Mama. Let's talk about steaks for a minute. No, kidding. Well, God told us to turn that church over. We had, I bet, 1,800 people gave their lives to Jesus at that outreach. And then it turned into a church. We met at a sale barn. And now they have a big building. We turned it over to Ted and Jan Carrington. So God uses me in an apostolic way, and I understand that. But listen to me. Don't think that the prophet is still not operating in the church today. And matter of fact, he wants to speak to anybody. And there probably are people here that have a calling prophetically. A prophetess, a woman, or a prophet as a man. God can use anyone. And if he gives you a word for somebody, give it to him. But listen to me. When you learn the word of God, prophecy is for edification and exhortation only. It's not to tell that you're going to die in 6 months, but count it all joy, you're going to heaven. No, that's not prophecy. That's a word from the flesh. And if it was me, you should do like my sister did. My spiritual sister owned a ranch in Iran, Texas. Someone come to her and said, I have a word of the Lord for you. She said, well, praise God, give it to me. She said, well, you're going to be going bankrupt not very long from now, but hey, count it all joy because God will see you through it. You know what that sister did? She said, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Because she had enough word in her. She wasn't going to receive a curse. Anyway, that wasn't part of my message, and I won't even pass the offering plate for that one. I'm kidding. Look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. And these signs, the Amplified says, attesting signs will accompany those who believe in. Okay, so here's the question. Look at me just real fast. And I know it seems like the Spirit of God is having me. Rusty understands this, and Ricky and Howdy and any minister, John, talk about this over and over and over until I feel in my spirit that we get it. These signs shall follow them that what? You know why you never saw anybody healed in our churches growing up? They didn't believe it. They couldn't see, you know, someone really getting out of a wheelchair. But when you believe it, you start seeing those things happen, see? Okay, so look at it. These signs, this is Jesus himself talking, by the way, shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. We've talked about that. They shall speak with new tongues. We've talked about that. They shall take up serpents. Now, we talked about that one big time, right? That don't bring a snake into this church. Thou willeth dieth, and the snake willeth toeth. But if they drink any deadly thing, it's talking about the anointing that was like on the Apostle Paul. Remember when the snake bit him and didn't kill him? It shall not hurt them. Listen to this. And they... Well, who's they, by the way, in verse 18? Don't you think if you're a believer, it's talking about you. It's not talking about the priest or the preacher or the deacons or the elders that are the only ones that are allowed to anoint you with oil and pray and believe God for your healing. No. It says anybody that believes, right? Because these signs shall follow them that what? They shall lay hands on the sick, and they, who's they? The sick, right? Shall recover. Now, don't stop reading there. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven to sit at the right hand of God, and they went forth. Who's they? The believers. Whoever was right there at that time. We can go through the teaching of who actually was all there. His disciples and Mary or whoever. But they went forth and what? Preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Look at this. And confirming the word with signs following. In other words, the message here is they went and preached and validated the message with indisputable evidence. So when someone gets healed, that is a sign from God. That's why we lay hands on the sick. That's why at this church, when someone's sick, we don't just put you on a prayer list. No, I say, John, or someone in the, if I can't do it, you go and lay your hands on them. And you preach that Bible. Now, yeah, you may not be a fivefold minister. You may not be the apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor, but you are a saint of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You have the right. You are worthy to lay hands on anyone. Here's what the devil will do, though. You're not worthy because you don't know enough of the Bible and you haven't prayed long enough. There's those rules again. No, God's actually just saying, no, you go because the preacher don't have time. He's at the next hospital down the road. You go lay hands on the sick. And then what's supposed to happen? They're supposed to recover. That's why we don't have an outbreak of COVID in this church. You know what my rule is? And I'm here to tell you, you live by this rule at this church. Kind of like a daddy right there. Did you hear me? If you are sick and not feeling good, stay home. Don't come out. You stay home and get your healing there. That's why we live by that rule. If you're in fear, stay home. Because I'm here to tell you, and I bet you can testify, people in this church that has stayed home 6 feet distance with a mask on, they still got COVID. I'm hearing it all over. They're still getting COVID. And now they're starting to come out. You know why? Well, because their immune systems were down by staying apart and wearing a stupid mask. Don't get in trouble, preacher. I'm not saying there's not times when if you want to wear the thing, just don't wear it in fear. Amen? Wear it because you want a chicken fried steak at the restaurant. Come on, y'all. Oh, Jesus. Oh, gosh, I got to hurry. Okay, so signs and wonders are supposed to follow us that believe. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a believing church. If you're not a believer, you're going to be. Okay, now, what happened is people fell out under the power of God. And why did they do that? Because it freaked me out, you know, 30 years ago. Why did they just go, woo, and fell out under the power of God? All right. I want you to turn real fast to John chapter 18. Let's get through it real fast. John's gospel. We're in Mark. Flip over two books to John chapter 18. Flip fast because we got to go. I need to get done. Come on. Come on, fingers. Say amen when you get there. Glory be to God. Thank you. 18. Now, turn 1 2 minutes. All right, look. Oh, where should we go, Lord? Let's just start in verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, and you got to back up into 17 at the end of it to find out what he spoke. He was declaring things. He went forth with his disciples over to the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into which he entered and his disciples, right? Judas also, which betrayed him, knew that place. You know, and obviously to catch you up, most of you know where we're at right here, right? They're fixing to come and get Jesus to go crucify him. Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither. That's a funny word. Do y'all got the King James thither? 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 Whatever. That's why I like the Amplified, because anyway. Judas then, verse 3, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, comes with lanterns and torches and weapons. So they're going to come get Jesus, right? He had already prophetically declared it. He knew what was going to happen. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, who seek ye? Oh, Jesus. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Listen, here it is. Jesus says, I want to know, why would people fall out under the power of God? This is why. When Jesus said unto them, I am he, Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as they had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. That's a lot of charismatic churches call that slain. They were slain under the power of God. They fell backwards. I'm here to tell you, when the Spirit of God is moving in a service that is corporate like this one, and you begin to preach the name that is above every name, and the believers begin to believe for signs and wonders, just at the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, the power of God will show up, and that's when, man, people just can't stand. I mean, the power of God wants to show up in your individual life and heal your body of all the disease and sickness. He wants to show you signs and wonders and the power, praise God. Not a goofiness. Not people just filing out and looking back to make sure someone catches them. That's corny to me. But I'm here to tell you, when the power of God moves like these people, man, they fell out under the power of God. And if that happens to you, let it. And you don't have to have a catcher. Anyway. A lot of churches, they perfected the catchers. Okay, we're going to catch them, put a blanket over their, you know, if it's a woman, you want to gently put them down. And I'm not going to say that people don't get up here in the flesh and fall down when they're not supposed to fall down. No, you don't fall down and you don't have to be pushed over. Come on. But when the power of God hits you, don't be one that tries to fight it. No, I mean, if the power of God, you ain't going to know it anyway. What I'm trying to say is that's evidence of what happened the other day. That should not confuse people and make them run away thinking that, wow, crazy things happened at that cowboy church. No, you know what happens? Signs and wonders. And we need that in these last days. You're going to start seeing that more relevant today than any other time. Why? Because the enemy's attacking today more than any other time. He's destroying marriages. He's trying to get you not to have the power of God. Because if you don't have the power of God, you're going to be one of those that's secluded, 6 feet apart, and in fear. But when you have the power of God, praise God, then you'll boldly say, you know what? I pray Psalms 91 over me. No plague shall come near my dwelling. I am not in fear. I'm going to respect authority, but I'm not going to be in fear and put on a mask. No, I'm going to go and have Christmas with my family. Because I'm here to tell you, they're trying to stop us from having Christmas with our family. Why? Because there's power in agreement. There's power in assembly. And if they can get us, the church, to not assemble, that's why the devil has the church. I know a church in Liberty Hill, Texas, that are still just on the TV dilly. Can I say dilly in church? What do you call it? Virtual? No. I want to be in person. I want to see your sweet smile. Come on, show me some teeth. I want to see some joy. Because I'm here to tell you right now, I can't tell who anybody is. They'll go, hey, Brother Corey. Who are you? Oh. Listen, don't you get me wrong. Don't you put on Facebook, our preacher wants to kill us all. No. I don't want you to be in fear. Amen. Don't you get in fear. You stay in faith. As you stay in faith, I heard y'all had the greatest time last night at the Ornament Exchange. My wife come home and said, I've never laughed that hard. I watched a video of Angela. I mean, she stole that ornament with some grace. I mean, it was like a model. How you model? I don't know how y'all walk like that, but men can't walk that way. Listen, we are to be assembling. Man, don't miss the Christmas concert tonight. If you're sick, stay home. Receive your healing. We'll believe with you. From 6 feet away. But not fear. Okay, hang on. Revelations 1:17, John saw a vision of God in heaven. Remember that? He fell as if he was dead. That's falling out under the power of God, or if you want to call it slain, I'm okay with that. It's healing. Healing that you see is a sign. The rain is a sign. People's marriage is being restored is a sign. Tongues is a sign. I mean, all these things are a sign. I mean, healing. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, remember 1 Peter 2:24, I stand on these scriptures constantly, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes, in the Amplified you'll see it, it amplifies that word stripes into wounds. His wounds, that whipping he took for you and I, by whose stripes or wounds ye were, not gonna be, not hopefully, no, were healed or have been healed. You see, I want signs and wonders to follow us that believe. We are not, though, to look just for a sign. The Bible says in Matthew 16:4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given. We're not here to come to church just to see a sign. We're here to praise Jesus. And then, when we're in the midst of praising the Lord Jesus, when we're in the midst of living by His ways of doing things, 6:33 of Matthew, seeking first the kingdom of God, which is His ways of doing things, and His righteousness, which is His way of doing and being right. When we're in the midst of seeking the kingdom of God, when we're in the midst of seeking Jesus Christ and not some preacher, not some denomination, not some church, when we're in the midst of seeing and seeking the Lord Jesus, then signs and wonders will follow you and I that are believers. That's when people's deaf ears are going to come forth and start hearing. That's when the dead in Christ is going to rise up. I'm not just talking, you know, just physically. I want it spiritually. Because there's a lot of dead spiritual people out there. They have no life because the devil has convinced them, because of all the bad things they've done wrong in their lives, that they're not worthy to receive a sign or a wonder from God. Why don't you tell that devil that he's a liar and he needs to get back under your feet? He has no right to try to convince you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Yeah, maybe you did some things wrong. Maybe you did things that you're not proud of back when. But you know what? My God, when you ask Him to forgive you, forgives you and remembers the sin no more. He don't even remember it. You're the one that brings it up to Him. You know, Father, it's me again. I did it again, sir. Well, then ask for forgiveness again and quit doing it. Thank God we don't let tomatoes come in here. But I can dodge them quickly. Stop doing the sin. Okay, here's the last thing I'll say about this. Because we're going to allow from here on. It's already happened, by the way, for 17 years. We're going to let signs and wonders happen in this place. If you're hurting right now, you're healed in Jesus' name. All you got to do is be a believer and let it manifest. Not get into fear. Oh God, I need healing. And then you're believing and praying, thank you Lord, I'm healed. And then 2 days later, when you still feel not healed, I guess God don't want to heal me. You just ripped up that seed right there. Now we need to start seeing signs and wonders following us that believe. Why? Because we're believers. Don't matter how much you know about the Bible. Doesn't matter how much you have or haven't prayed. If you're a believer in Jesus, you should be believing for the signs and wonders, but not come in here just to see a sign. No, come in here seeing Jesus. And then watch what happens. Now, when that happens in a corporate setting like that, as someone stood up and did that, then there'll be an interpretation. Doesn't have anything to do with your personal prayer language. You got to understand that. But when that happens, the Spirit of the Lord wants to tell every single one of us to continue on. Don't you back up into the days of Babylon, says the Lord. You need to continue on, pressing forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. You need to continue to step forward in faith. Because when we step forward in faith, says the Lord, then that's when mountains are moved. That's when there's no doubting in your heart. You just continue to believe the things that you say will come to pass, says the Lord. You'll begin to have the things that you say. You are the head and not the tail. See, all these things, when you just pray in the Spirit and a sign comes and then a prophetic word hits, oh man, all that was is edifying the believer. Come on, you can do it, girl. Your gift, it makes room for you. Oh, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And then watch this church continue to fill up. Why? Well, because people need Jesus today. There's hope in Him. There's hope. Anybody sick in here? Anybody not feeling good? Anybody that the doctor has given a bad report to? Come here right now. It don't matter who it is. They won't even know what it is probably. But you've been given a bad report? Come here right now. I don't care if it's a knee, an ankle, something inside you. You're having issues. Get up here right now. If there's been a bad report prayed, then you come up here in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter what it is. Anybody else? If you're living in fear, if you've been having trouble in a marriage, if your finances are under attack, you get up here, man. Father, in Jesus' name, the Bible says to lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Whatever it is, sir, you know it. Heal this woman in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord. Get your hands out. Listen, look at me. When you do this, I want you to say, come on, Jesus. I don't want a clenched hand of, oh, it's fixing to happen to me. No. No, God wants to deliver you from everything that's going on in your life. Father, in Jesus' name. God, Father, you know what's going on. Heal in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you praise for nothing missing, nothing broken. Heal that body in Jesus' name. Father, I'd thank you, Lord, for restoration in Jesus' name. Be healed, whatever it is. I don't care if it's a marriage. Father, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we're doing what your word says. Be healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. I rebuke that spirit that's trying to torment this woman. Be gone in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, Father, thank you. Thank you. Glory be to God. From now on, you're going to hold your head up, your shoulders back. You're going to press forward knowing that the Spirit of God has everything that you're going through under control and you're set free in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Yes, say it. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that everything that's tormenting this woman of God be gone in Jesus' name. Say, I receive that. Father, in Jesus' name, both of y'all or just you? You here for her?
Both of us, Father.
All right. Did you call me Father or the Father?
Daddy.
I got to say this real fast. This is a rabbit hole. Everybody look at me. And the anointing's still here, trust me. A little girl, because they don't know. She goes, Mom and Dad, is he the Pope? So anyway. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, your grace, how you have joy, unspeakable joy. So, Father, thank you, Lord, answer every prayer now in Jesus' name. Father, I rebuke the enemy from destroying this man. You shall live and not die in Jesus' name. So, Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you. We give you praise that this body is lined up with the Word of God. Father,
thank you.
You know what the Spirit of God says about you? Confidence. Confidence.
Over and over, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. And thank the Lord for rewarding you because you're diligently seeking Him.
So when you say, you know what, I got confidence because Jesus lives on the inside
Amen.
Of me.
Amen.
Amen.
Then that devil has no right to torment you in any way. So receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this precious couple. I thank you, Lord, for nothing missing, nothing broken. I thank you, Lord, that we break every single curse from the generations to whatever could be stopping the move of God in their lives, financially, spiritually, everything, Father. We give you glory that they are here by faith, and they see the fruits of their labor, and they see it now.
Hey, you're okay? Worthy. You're worthy. You are worthy. And know, God, you're worthy. You're a child of the Most High God, a member of the household of, and God's saying you're worthy. Accept that worthiness. For sure.
Amen.
Worthy.
He won't come down.
He's already here.
He can't walk that far.
Okay. What's his name?
Joe.
Father.
Dan.
That's fine. Father, we lift up. You know his name.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And Father, I thank you, Lord, that Dan is healed now. And you are standing in for him.
Amen.
So you go lay hands on him. And we call him healed in Jesus' name. Love you so much. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, in Jesus' name, open every door. Shut the ones that are not supposed to be open. Nothing missing, nothing broken in these lives that serve you, sir, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, growing up, I look back there at the clock in First Cafeteria, the Baptist would have beat us. That'd have stopped the anointing. So from here on, we're believers. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. Everybody in here, repeat this prayer. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. This day, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when I leave this earth, I'm coming to heaven and not hell. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, your heads are bowed in honor of God. Your eyes are closed just in respect of your neighbor. You notice I have everybody pray. Well, I don't know if everybody did, because you had to be willing. Romans 10:9 says that you confess Jesus as Lord. That means you have to open your mouth and say, Jesus, come into my life. I had everybody that was willing to do that right now, even if you were saved. If you were saved and you prayed that prayer, the reason you did it, or I had you do it, is not to get saved again. It was so you can learn the prayer. And you can pray it with someone that may be praying it for the first time around you. I also had all people pray it in case there was someone either watching or here in this audience that didn't know where they would go when they die. Maybe you just don't know. You don't know if you go to a place called heaven or hell. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, but you just prayed that prayer. And you just gave your life to the Lord. So what I'm going to do, with no one looking around, if that was you, the latter, the person that had never given their lives to Jesus, you prayed that prayer, and you just asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, to be the Lord of your life, and you just prayed that prayer in a minute. If that was you, and you had never done that before, you just gave your life to Jesus. You, before you just prayed that prayer, you just didn't know if you died, if you'd go to heaven or hell. But now that you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I'm telling you, when you die, you're going to bust heaven wide open. All I want you to do, though, is if that was you and you just prayed that prayer, when I say 1, 2, 3, I want you to raise your hand up and say, God, I just gave my life to you. And then just put it right back down. I'm not gonna ask you to come here. You don't have to do that. I did it in my church. My knees were shaking, boy, when I walked down the altar. I love that, but you don't have to. You can do it right where you're at. So if you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus, when I say 1, 2, and 3, I want you to raise your hand and say, God, I meant that prayer, and just put your hand right back down. Ready? With boldness. 1, 2, 3, go. Thank you. Thank you. Right back there. Anybody else? If I didn't see it, just raise it up. Let me see it. Just put it right back down. We got her. We just giving her a Bible. Anybody else? You just prayed that prayer. You gave your life to Jesus. If you're new here, you'll notice tons of people give their lives to the Lord here. All right, look at me, y'all. I'm serious. Very seldom. And this is why, man, I don't like offense. Oh, offense. I have an opportunity to get offended all the time. Talked to someone not long ago that I'm just not one to push people down. I just never have. I want to build you up. And she said, you know, you're a good evangelist, but a terrible pastor. I thought, that's what was said. And I'm like, oh, that was the worst thing you could say to me. Because I'm not who you say I am. I'm who he says I am. And you know, your flesh wants to rise up and say, you must... Have you seen our crowds? God is ultimately blessing this church. So I must be doing something right, devil. Well, I wasn't calling them devil, but you know what I mean. It's an honor to be your pastor. But here's my job. My job is to teach you to do the work of the ministry. If you hadn't been here in a long time, don't put pressure on the church by us remembering that you hadn't been here in 6 months. No, just call us and say, hey, I'm still living. Praise God, because we don't know. We don't know if you found another church. We don't harass. I've never been like that, to harass people. But it's an honor to be your pastor. Amen. When I'm gone, there's four reasons so people don't have to die and go to hell. So when I preached at the National Finals Rodeo in Arlington a couple weeks ago, is to get people saved. Amen. So, next week, there's going to be a different message, and we're still going to see signs and wonders follow us. Amen. Tonight, please don't miss the Christmas concert. It's going to be at 4:30. For refreshments, 5 o'clock is the concert. We're going to have a blast. Come early. I pray this place is just jam-packed. Yeah, maybe you do drive, and you might have to drive back. It's okay. God will give you grace. He'll give you some coffee to stay awake. You can go to my house if you need to waste a little time. I've got a horse to shoe, some to ride. It's not a big deal if they buck. They just do it for a little bit. Stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. Love you guys. Hey, yeah, by the way, I apologize. The Christmas Eve service. I'm doing it. I'm not even going to my family's Christmas. Me and Mom going to be by ourselves. And Jamie, would raise your right hand. Say, I will bring Corey's presents if I get any. We're going to do a Christmas Eve service that starts at 6 o'clock the day before. Spread the word. Christmas Eve, that's true. The day before Christmas. It's amazing. Yeah, yeah. Christmas Eve service. 6 o'clock. Me and Ricky and Daryl are going to get our guitar and a fiddle out, and we're going to do music, and it's going to be a blast. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for giving us understanding instead of freaking everybody out and they don't understand and then they run off scared. No, no, no. This is exactly what's going to take place in heaven. There's going to be shouting. There's going to be major praise and worship. Ooh, we're going to be with the King of Kings. Yeah, I mean, in the flesh. Well, in the spirit, but still, we're going to be right there. But Father, we thank you, Lord, that he's here. Now, as we leave, sir, as we always pray, you don't stay here. You never leave us, and you never forsake us. So you get to go with us right now. So until we come back tonight for the Christmas concert, or we come back for the Christmas Eve, or next Sunday, Bible study, we just give you praise. We want you with us in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. All the new people, it's an honor to have you. All the rest of you, old timers, honor to have you. God bless you. A big round of applause. You're dismissed.